Oh yeah, like last week, I think I streamed like 20 hours, and somebody made a comment like, "How could you say you're full time? You're only streaming 20 hours. Like, shouldn't you be working harder?" And like, people don't understand everything that goes on behind there. Like, if I'm streaming 20 hours, I'm probably putting in 60 hours in the week.
Hello everyone, and welcome to the Balthazar NFT Gaming Podcast. Today, our lovely guest is going to be Bulldog 1205, who is known as one of the top Splinterlands streamers, was a part of the Splinterlands team as community manager for a bit, and is now going back to full-time content creation. So in this episode, we're going to grab his story of content creation, some tips and advice for Web3 gaming content creation, and much more. So please welcome Bulldog 1205 to the podcast. Hey, welcome everyone to the Balthazar NFT Gaming Podcast. Today, I'm hyped. We got Bulldog 1205, or is it 1205? How do I say it, Bulldog?
There's not a right or wrong way. I typically say 1205. But no, there's not a right or wrong way.
Okay. You've never been hit with the Bulldog 1205?
That one I have not, no. I'll have to start doing that now.
Okay, yeah. It's a little more wordy, but
that's like when your parents get mad at you and they say your full name.
Oh,
that's
what I'm called. Shoot. Okay. So when we're upset with you, like if you lose a match on stream that we're betting on or something like that, then we'll call you Bulldog 1000. Okay. Awesome.
Well, hey, I just did that video on player staking. So eventually we're going to have some people are going to be in chat. They're going to have some SPS on the line. So
there you go.
There might be people getting upset.
There you go. if you want that, I guess. A lot of pressure on you. But yeah, anyways, thank you so much for being here. It's awesome to talk to you. It's been a while since we've gotten to do any content together, so it's fun just checking in. And obviously, things on your end have changed a lot within the last month, so we'll dive into that and just kind of hear your story on that. But I want to go back just in case people don't know you and just get to know the Bulldog here a little bit. I want to know how long you've been doing content. I mean, a lot of people know you for Splinterlands, you know, over the last year or so, but what was your start before that? Were you starting with other games? Were you doing content years ago? What was that like?
Yeah, so I actually just hit my 5-year anniversary on YouTube for my first video. I started out with a Web2 game, Star Wars Galaxy of Heroes, and kind of got started on that by accident. I never planned on really becoming a content creator or anything like that. I just found some cool things to do in that game, uploaded it for my guild, and it ended up taking off. Ended up having a few videos where I found some loopholes where, like, we've got raids in that game that are designed for 50 people, and I was able to find some loopholes where I could beat it with a single person. So posting that game that had tens of millions of players got a ton of views. And then when I got all those subscribers, it was just kind of like, okay, well, now I'm gonna start using, might as well take advantage of these subs that I got. And I was able to monetize the channel, so I kind of just used it as a way to spend money in the game, because that was a very pay-to-win type game. So it was just, okay, make some content, get some funds, use those funds to buy the new characters that comes out, and just kind of put it in a cycle. And that's what I did for a little bit, until I made a video that game didn't like, and kind of covering the cheating scandals in that game. Ended up getting banned from it. And ultimately led for me to seek out some other games, and Splinterlands kind of just fit. So moved over to making Splinterlands content, did that. So that was April 21. So it's been over a year and a half since I joined Splinterlands. Doesn't feel that long, and it feels like a lot longer at the same time.
Right.
But yeah, made content there, and the channel kind of blew up. Switched over to being community manager back in around January or so. So went from, actually was full-time content creator for just a little bit. And then wanted to join the Splinterlands team to get that guaranteed salary. So, and then just a month ago with the cuts there, I'm going back to full-time content creator now. So that's the big change you were referencing, as I'll now be playing lots of other games and doing streams and things like that. So that's a long-winded summary of my history and content creation.
It's really good. Yeah, I appreciate that story. It's good to get the backstory. And of course, I want to hear from you a bit too. Like, it's funny kind of how similar our stories are. For me, I was making like a League of Legends video, and one of them just kind of popped off, and that's how I started making more and kind of got hooked into it. I want to know from your point, since we've kind of both stumbled into video content creation, was there a certain point where then all of a sudden you're like, oh, I can actually do this full time, or I have this dream in the back of my head of like, I want to make videos full time, or I want to be a streamer full time. Was there ever a switch for you there?
Not really until Splinterlands. When I was with the Star Wars game, it was kind of like, oh yeah, that's always like the dream or whatever. Yeah, it'd be nice to be able to do this full time. But I was also I'm a pharmacist as well, so have a fairly high salary there. So the point where it was like, okay, I feel like I can come at least close to that salary doing content creation, was there was always a huge gap there until Splinterlands and Web3, and everything kind of blew up. And just with, especially during the bull market, all the money coming in, like sponsors were offering even stupid amounts of money that I never really imagined getting. And it wasn't until that crazy bull market that I was like, okay, I can actually do this full time and start doing that. And that was when I tried to go full time as a content creator. And it was actually working pretty well, but it was also kind of stressful when it'd be like, okay, there's no guaranteed income type thing. And it's like, okay, I made $10,000 this month, but then I made $75 or it's the next 2 weeks or whatever the case is. And yeah, it would be kind of rough. So it's going over to a salary position was kind of nice there.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it was interesting. I think a lot of us who started in that bull run, you started a little bit before me, but I got this feeling of like, oh my goodness, like, I'm starting off at zero subs, and all of a sudden, like a month later, I'm at 2,000, 5,000. And then you start thinking like in your head, you're like, oh my gosh, this is going to take off. I'm going to hit like 100,000 subs. Like, we're going to be rich. Like, this is crazy. And then of course the bear market hits and numbers go nowhere at that point. So what was that experience for you like, going from that kind of bull market, and not in the sense of your assets, but just content creation, to now the bear market slowing everything down?
Oh yeah. I mean, it was a change, but that was why I was glad I switched over to Splinterlands. I mean, that was very early in the bear market. That was kind of before we really realized how much of a bear market we were in. I think in January things were starting to trend down, but we had no idea we'd be here at that point. So that was definitely nice, because at that point I still did some sponsorships, but I stopped doing a lot of it. It became more of, I've obviously still been doing content creation, but it was more on the side, not quite as consistent. So the bear market, at least up until now, didn't really hit me the same as it did some of the other content creators.
Yeah. And that's, I mean, definitely one of those things where it's nice going from full-time content creation to like, oh, like it's not going as well as I thought. Here's a job offer, you know, you for Splinterlands, me for Balthazar. Like, it was kind of almost similar times. And I think I heard you after your stream of when you're making that announcement of being let go at Splinterlands. You're talking about this feeling, and I'm guessing this is just kind of that immediate reaction. So I'm curious to see how you think about this now. But one of the things you were saying is, man, like what if I didn't jump on Splinterlands? Like, would I be somewhere where Bryson was, like your stash was, like if I was able to full time just kind of go for it? Do you still kind of have that same regret or thinking or feelings towards that? Or have you shifted now that you've had a little bit more time to reflect on that?
No, I don't know if it's fair to call it a regret. It's just kind of always been a wondering in the back of my mind, like, am I handicapping my ceiling by taking that guaranteed salary? Because yes, it's guaranteed, but the possibilities are so much higher if I stay with content creation and could blow up that way and do my own thing. It's kind of a position I'd much rather be in, being my own boss and all of that stuff. But I was just kind of wondering, okay, could I have done better if I focused 100% on content creation? And I don't know, but we're gonna kind of find out here what things would be like. But on the flip side, this may have been the greatest thing ever, that like I got a guaranteed salary during the bear market. So maybe it was perfect that, okay, Splinterlands helped kind of bridge this gap during the bear market, and now I can focus on content creation, and maybe we're a little closer to a bull. I mean, we are closer to a bull market, whether that's months away or years away, who knows, right? but no, maybe I'll look back on this and be like, okay, that was perfect. If Splinterlands hadn't stepped up, I my channel would have died during the bear market, and I would have gone back to pharmacy, and maybe they helped bridge that gap. So we'll just have to see. see how things play out. But that was always been a, it was certainly always a question in the back of my mind when I was with Splinterlands is did I miss out by not betting on myself, basically?
Yeah. And you know, it's so hard with these decisions that we make, right? Like there's always that voice in the back of our heads of what if this happened instead of this happened? And, you know, obviously none of us can change the past. And instead, I love what you're doing, just moving forward with the future here. But I'm curious as well with the bear market hitting, being within the Splinterlands team, you know, obviously as content creators, like I was involved in Splinterlands, like a lot of us were, and it's so easy to sit on the outside and judge, looking in, do some critiques. You know, I maybe famously made a rant video by accident that went a little more popular than I was thinking it would. But being a community manager in these Web3 games is so different, right, than a normal video game. A normal video game, if you're playing League of Legends or Star Wars or whatever, there's no like community involvement of feelings of like the market, right? They don't care. Like, how does that affect what happens in Valorant, you know? So what was it like being a community manager within the Web3 game now that we hit a bear market? How was that for you?
Oh yeah, there was there's always some people that are upset there, but I think that I don't know. The gaming industry in general is really pretty toxic. Like, it's a different type of complaints than you'd get from a Web 2 game. But I've certainly played a lot of Web 2 games, been heavily involved in some of those communities, and I've probably been some yelling at the devs on the other sure. end as well. I mean, when things don't go well within the game or there's always people that are upset. So it's just a different type of criticism. But I don't think it's all that different as far as people getting upset with the bear market versus just the general toxicity from gaming. So overall, I feel like Web3 games are so much less toxic than some of the dedicated Web2 games.
Well, that's good to hear. That's kind of surprising, especially during a bear market, you know? I feel like during a bull market, everyone's happy, right?
During a bull market, yeah. Well, That was one thing that was so great. Like during a bull market, everybody's, I mean, you even see it with a bear, but more so during a bull, like everybody's trying to lift other people up and help people get into the game and help new players and things like that. Like you don't see a lot of people helping new players in Web 2 games. It's more like people just want to jump in and stomp on new players. Right. And I don't know. There's just, like I said, so much toxicity. But you see a lot of the community working together more in Web3 games than you do in Web2 games.
Yeah. I'm curious to hear, when you're doing this community management, I saw some people, you're still making videos on your own channel, right? And some of the comments that I started seeing coming up, because I think people were frustrated within the midst of a bear market, was, oh, like, I don't know if we can really trust Bulldog anymore because he's a part of the team and he can't, you know, he has to shill the game or you can't give his honest opinion. Do you feel like that was a fair comment? Do you feel like Splinterlands allowed you to just share freely whether you thought it was positive or a negative choice, or did you feel limited being on the team during this time?
I didn't feel too limited, and those who follow my content know that I was certainly still critical quite a bit, really. There were a few times where I had to retract something. Splinterlands made me retract some things. That did happen a couple times, but not very much. And I expected some of that, but I was really surprised. Like I did think being community manager would actually help my content as well. But I feel like it actually hurt it more, like his like perception of it, because so many people, yeah, thought that I'm just part of the team. They can't really believe anything that I say anymore. And even though I don't feel like I changed anything on my end, I mean, I could, if anything changed, it was because I could kind of see inside the process more. And sometimes you just don't understand what's going on because you can't see the whole picture. And even though I didn't get as much of the pictures I really would have liked to as community manager, Splinterlands really compartmentalizes everything. And I think sometimes they're so worried about like insider trading and that type of stuff that they try to keep things isolated. So I wish I knew a little more than I did, but I still got to see more than everybody else. And that kind of shaped my opinion sometimes. And I think a lot of times people couldn't understand that was why.
Yeah. And it's so hard, I think, as a content creator too, because you can only do what you can do, right? Like you can have all the integrity, honesty, and you feel like you're just sharing your honest opinions, but everyone's going to perceive it in different ways as they watch, right? They don't get to really dive deep into your own mind.
Yeah. And I was more, I don't think I ever changed like my actual opinion or what I was saying, but I was more conscious of phrasing it in a politically correct way. It kind of went through an extra filter. So there may have been different ways that I would phrase things. But no, I don't think my actual opinion or what I was saying really changed much.
Yeah, and I always thought it was kind of a funny opinion that people were saying that, because I think more so than any other game, Splinterlands will have people just share openly how they feel, whether they're on the team or not. So I personally never got the feeling from you that you were trying to shill anything or, you know, pull punches because you're just on the team now. So I appreciated that about you. And I think hopefully people can see that, the true side of that, not just the people who are upset.
Yeah, so some people will, and then there's some that are always going to be biased, and that's part of it. It doesn't bother me.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm glad it doesn't bother you, because as a content creator, I think a lot of things can easily bother us if we're not careful, especially with all the comments coming in. But I want to hear your opinion on Splinterlands, because obviously we've seen different people react differently to the whole situation of them firing, a huge chunk of the company. We saw some people... I'm selling off some of my collection, whether that's because they're mad or because maybe they have to, you know, pay some bills, whatever the reasons were. It seems like, though, you're still very much, hey, I'm going to cover this game. I'm still a big believer in Splinterlands. So what is it for you that keeps you going within Splinterlands content creation?
Oh, yeah, I still like the game. So I enjoy playing it. And that's why I got into it. Again, I knew nothing about crypto or NFTs when I came over. I didn't come over trying to make a bunch of money or anything like that. Like when I started, even the idea that I would be able to sell my stuff for half of what it was worth, like was a huge positive for me. Because when I left Galaxy of Heroes, when I was forced to leave Galaxy of Heroes, all that I'd spent was worth nothing. So like the idea of being able to get something back when I was done making content with it was pretty cool. So I still like the game. I still enjoy all of that, and I'm still excited to see how everything plays out. I know we hear so much of the Splinterlands is dead, and that, or the, sorry, not Splinterlands, but well, we do hear some of that too, but right. play to earn is dead is what I meant to say. Play to earn is dead. And I don't necessarily believe that. And I really like the setup of the Splinterlands economy, and I kind of want to see it through how, we've still got some things that have to be implemented. I want to see land come. I want to see player staking come. There's so much of this cool stuff that I still kind of can see the end product, and I'm still excited about it.
Yeah. I mean, you said play to earn isn't dead, but I have heard you in videos and recent streams say something similar to the lines of, hey, play to earn isn't dead, but it is going to be a little bit more of a niche thing in Web3. So I guess two questions there. One, do you put Splinterlands in that play to earn category? And then two, has your perspective changed? And what do you mean by it's becoming more of a niche thing within Web3?
So yes, I would definitely put Splinterlands in that part. And I think that it's going to kind of take the place of the current like free-to-play type model. Like you see a lot of mobile gamings and things, and you've got these whales that spend six figures on some of these Web2 games and on some of these collections. I came from Galaxy of Heroes. That was one of them. I mean, I personally, like I said, I was using my channel to fund purchases in there to make content on it. I spent, I think, $5,000 on the Star Wars game and things like that. And there's a huge market for that type of thing. And I think the ability for those to be in NFTs and the ability to actually profit off of it is something that a lot of those whales are going to like, right? So yeah. Right now there's a lot of pushback for it, but I kind of see that taking that market. But I wouldn't say like that's the, like if we're just talking about gaming in general, I wouldn't say that's the major market is the loot box model and the free to, like some of those huge pay to win games and things like that. So I think it'll be a smaller market, but you'll still see more. It's not going to be your Call of Duty type things, your Fortnite. I know you've got like some loot boxes and stuff in that, in those games, you might have some of it in there, but it's not the same degree. Like, I don't know if people have played some of these, like these money sink heavy pay to win games or however you want to describe it. But those are a whole nother aspect. But I think it'll kind of be that part of the market.
So as you think about this trend moving forward with your content, does that mean your content's going to change as well? Like, are you moving away from covering as many what you'd call play to earn games and trying to find maybe those games that will really take off in the mainstream of gaming?
I want to play games that I have fun with. So like I'm not even restricted to Web3 games. Like Marvel Snap is going to be one of the main games that I play. I just got into that because it's got a lot of similar game mechanics to Splinterlands. When I came to Splinterlands, I was looking for I wanted a collectible game because I kind of like those things, and I wanted a quick strategy game that I could play like while I was at work. That would only take 3 or 4 minutes to play a battle. So that was kind of what appealed to me with Splinterlands. Marvel Snap has that same type of thing.
Yeah, definitely.
But it's just gonna be whatever games I have fun with. Like right now, the biggest ones are like you've got Superior. I started playing Spider Tanks. We played STG football together. I think that was the last stream that we did together. Awesome. That was fun. Like those are fun games. Like STG football they're not having a like tokenomics and a coin or that type of thing. It's not what I would consider a play to earn game. Yeah, you can level up your cards and sell them if you want, but that's not really it's not like people are really getting into it because of that, but right. It's just a fun game. So if I have fun with the games, I'm gonna stream it.
So how does something like Marvel Snap go for you? Because I've seen some streamers who are like all Web3, and then when they do a Web2 game, everyone's like, why would I play this? I can't earn, or you know, whatever excuse they use. Have you found any success streaming those things yet?
I'm starting to see some, because yes, it started out like the first stream I did, that at times there was literally zero people watching, and I think like average was 3 or 4 or something like that. And then the one I did on Friday averaged, I think, 16 or something like that. It's slowly been climbing up because people are seeing how fun it is. Like it's a lot of people have. That's been the most common question. Every time if you look at almost any of the comments or things like that, is this play to earn? Are these NFTs? Someday they will, because it'd be perfect for NFTs. Not necessarily play to earn, but you've got all these skins and cosmetics in it, and it'd just be perfect to make them NFTs, and you don't need a token or anything like that. So someday we'll be in a spot where all games just like that's just the thing. You own your own assets, and there's no is it an NFT game, is it not? It's just everybody kind of you just kind of own everything. Yeah. But no, it's I think people are starting to actually get into it and like it. So I hope it wasn't a fluke last week, and the views are really gonna pick up there.
Yeah, it's funny how everyone's so concerned about earnings. I mean, I made that joke tweet of like, hey, my new favorite Web Zero game is disc golf. And I think you tweeted like, how much can I earn, sir? Yes. But the funny thing was someone I think actually commented after that and was actually serious. Like, what are the earnings? And I'm like, guys, hello, like way over your head.
Anytime we do a review or anything like that, it's all how much are you earning with it and stuff like that. And that's there's this huge bridge between Web2 and Web3 that we need to get to, because like everybody Web3 says, oh, the games just aren't fun enough, we need fun games. But then when you put a fun game out, if you can't actually earn that much, nobody plays it, because they all say they want a fun game, but nobody really cares. They're all just there for the I shouldn't say nobody, that's generalizing, but a majority of players.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, I was saying, just like on the other side, you have Web2 players. Like I remember there was a big thread not too long ago about was it a Minecraft and somebody like owned a server or something, and they took it away and was talking about how they wanted to own their assets and things like that, but then you suggest NFTs and they want nothing to do with it. Right. So like it's like people don't really understand what they want on either side.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, I think one of those bridges can be people like you, or I've seen Bryson do this as well, who are willing to cover Web2 and Web3 games. And I think that can be a key, because really what do gamers listen to the most, right? It's the opinions of content creators, if we're being honest. That's one of the biggest key factors. And to have someone that's maybe has pulling in some of that Web2 audience and can say, hey, I'm also playing this, you know, Web3 game, if you even want to call it that, and guys, it's not so bad, right? And so I don't know if you've experienced that at all, or I'm curious if you've seen the flip side of, well, as like people that have watched Marvel Snap, maybe they have no idea about NFT gaming, and then come into another streamer like, why are you playing this game? We hate NFTs. Have you seen that at all yet? Or is it a little bit too early still?
I haven't seen too many people coming in for just the Snap comment. There's been a few. A lot of them have been people who are still following me from Galaxy of Heroes.
Oh wow!
And then we're more drawn to Marvel Snap. But that was actually part of the whole design. Like that was my intention and reason. Because again, when I started doing this, I was still on the team. I was going to start up a Snap channel and do this type of thing, because I felt like I could convert Snap players to Splinterlands players, because the gameplay mechanics are there. There's a lot of similarity and a lot of overlap there. And my whole, I've got my Darth Squirrel NFT project that I give away on those streams. And I thought that was a way I could convert some Web 2 viewers to Web 3. Everybody says the NFTs are a scam, but then, okay, you win this free NFT on the channel that actually has some value that you can do things with, that it wasn't some scam, or they're not trying to steal your money. It was something you literally just a way for me to give back to viewers watching my stream. And I feel like that could change people's opinions on NFTs when they see a good use case for it. So we'll see how that plays out, but I'm hopeful that will actually work.
Yeah, I think you'll probably get both, or you'll get those who are converting over. And then, like, it was really interesting to me. I don't know if you, I know you played Superior, but if you just even go into the Steam version, the non-NFT version, and you look at the reviews, and it's like people who are upset that there's even an NFT version. They're like, guess what? This doesn't have NFTs, but the company, they support NFTs. Don't buy this game. Like, they just downvoted just because of that. And I was like, really? Wow. It's incredible to see that.
Yeah, no, it's completely ridiculous being mad at a company because they have a different version of a game. I don't know. I just don't get it. It's like people with an Xbox version of a game getting mad and downvoting it because they didn't like something that the PC version does, even if it doesn't apply to them whatsoever. And it's like, who cares? Like, why does that even matter? If you don't want NFTs, fine, but like, you're just getting mad at things for no reason just because it's an NFT.
Yeah. I mean, for you, in your mind, as you're looking at this in content creation, do you think there's a period, like, what are you looking for? Like, 2 years, 5 years? How long do you think it's going to take before more of those bridges are actually connected together and we're not getting this, like, Web 2 versus Web 3, you know, fighting all the time?
I think it's going to take a while. I don't think it's going to be a smooth process. I'm very curious to see what things are like, because I definitely believe that at least some of the Web 3 concepts are eventually going to go over. But there are so many Web 3 concepts that we actually don't need blockchain for. Like, everybody just says ownership. You don't actually need blockchain to own your own assets. That can be done other ways. The decentralization part is a huge part of it. That's one reason, like, I like Splinterlands so much, is because they're actually planning on having real decentralization, and where, okay, we've actually got nodes that are eventually running the servers, controlling the game aspect and things like that. And that's a whole different type of ownership than just, I mean, a lot of these games that they say they're Web 3, they've got ownership, but it's still, they're still controlled by the company, even though they're an NFT.
Right.
I mean, it's still dependent. So I'm interested to see, in some of these main games down the line, if it's really blockchain that wins out, or if it's just the blockchain and the Web 3 concepts that get converted over to Web 2, and in which direction we go. So I'm very curious.
Yeah, and there's, you know, examples, you know, whether you want to look at the black market of, you know, World of Warcraft or things like that. But even I was reading about, you know, Diablo, they put out their own marketplace where people can buy and sell assets. And that was what, like, 10 years ago, I believe, before they realized, oh, this is actually ruining the game, let's shut it down. So it's interesting to see, like, yeah, as you said, there's examples in Web 2 as well without the blockchain.
Well, even like CSGO is the one that has a marketplace. Yeah. So, like, you don't necessarily need to have Web 3 concepts, but then you have the decentralization part, and that's what I think is going to be pretty big.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how it plays out. I'm curious for you, though, personally, as a content creator, can you give us a tease, or is it too early here? What's coming up next for you here now that you're going back full time?
I don't even know myself. I wish I could answer that. But no, I guess I shouldn't say I did. I'm in the process of signing on with an actual agency that's going to help me find sponsorships and things like that. So I'm sure some of it will depend on what deals I'm offered and things like that. Right now, it's just me trying to make as much content as I can on streams and playing fun games. Like this week, I think I kind of mentioned some of the games, Wild of Gala games like Superior and Spider Tanks. I like the Alluvium later today. I think the Alluvium Overworld beta comes out.
Yep.
So I'm going to hop in and play that, and then I'm just going to kind of stream it. I'm going to stream what I like and make content on what I like. And then it'll partially be driven by what sponsorships I can find and how the viewers respond to the content I make. And if I stream Alluvium and we get a bunch of people in there that are loving Alluvium, then I'll probably stream a lot more of it. If I stream it and I don't necessarily like it more than the other games and nobody's watching, I'll probably go back to Spider Tanks and Superior, whatever the case is. So we'll see.
Yeah, it's interesting finding that balance of what do I enjoy, what can I make money in, and what do our viewers enjoy, right? Like, right, pretty much. There's no perfect balance there.
That's like the triangle there, and it's got to, and I don't even know my end. What I'm going to enjoy is all these things comes out, let alone what's going to happen on the other two ends.
Yeah. How about when, I know that time when you were a full-time content creator early in the year, I know that was a short stint. But was there any lessons you learned there that now you're like, okay, now that I'm going back full time, I can apply these lessons?
I mean, there are some things. I always get paid for my projects before I make them. I learned that the hard way.
Oh, boy. Sounds like a story in there.
It's such a scammy industry, like the influencer industry alone, even in Web 2. And then you add Web 3 on top of it, where there's not a lot of regulations, or you're working with companies you don't know anything about or things like that. And it's not always the most desirable, like that end, the whole business end is not always the most desirable end. I just want to stream and make videos, and I don't want to tread through all this all this crap sometimes. But no, I mean, being involved in there has helped a little bit, but I think that's one reason I'm signing on with an agency too, is that they can handle all that, or at least most of that, and I can just focus more on content.
Yeah, that takes a lot of pressure off. And I think most content creators, I mean, I'm that way too. I'm like, yeah, I like the streaming, I like the video, but man, there's so much other business stuff or social media stuff. Like the actual amount of time, if you're doing it by yourself, just throughout a week, it's like, yeah, I'm actually only spending like maybe 30% of my time on actual content, right? Because there's so many other things going on in the background people don't realize.
Oh yeah, like last week I think I streamed like 20 hours, and somebody made a comment like, how could you say you're full time? You're only streaming 20 hours. Like, shouldn't you be working harder? And like, people don't understand everything that goes on behind there. Like, if I'm streaming 20 hours, I'm probably putting in 60 hours in the week. There's just so much other stuff. I don't have I know some content creators have an editor. I don't have anything like that. Hopefully, down the line when things get set up, I can have my own editor too as well, that will speed things up and could take clips and things and save me a lot of time, especially since I'm not that good at all that stuff.
But yeah. Yeah. It's a lot right of work. Now, I mean, it's crazy.
Yeah. It's all me right now. So,
well, congrats to you then, doing that all by yourself. I mean, that's just a frick ton of work. So well done. And yeah, hopefully you can build out as you go and get some of those extra helps. I know a lot of people don't realize that one content creator, even though that's all you see and you think, oh, that person's doing everything, like sometimes they'll have a team of five people behind them that you just have no idea.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you'll have somebody managing even schedules and sponsorship deals, and somebody editing up all the videos. And there's so many content creators that don't actually make any of the videos themselves. They just kind of record the footage and play the games and that type of stuff, and then they send it off, and it's a whole other team that puts everything together.
Yeah. Content creation, it's a weird world, but I'm curious if you've gotten a taste of it enough to say like, yeah, this is actually my dream, this is my goal now, or is it, hey, I still want to do content creation, and then, you know, if another team in Web3, you know, offers me a job or a place like that, that's what I'm actually looking for?
I mean, it's hard to say. A lot of it, I mean, just to be blunt, depends on how much I can end up making by myself and that type of thing. Because I like, even it's so much different when you're making content like part-time as like a side hobby versus full-time as a content creator. And that was something I definitely learned when I went full-time. Like when I had another source of income, and it was like, some days you just don't feel like streaming or don't feel like making video content or whatever the case is. And when it was just a side hobby, I could just say, okay, well, I'm not going to do it today because I don't want to. When it's my full-time job, it's like, I can't afford to do that type of thing or whatever the case is. Especially as I'm just starting out. So, I mean, hopefully, ideally, you get to a spot where there's enough income coming in that okay, you can just decide to take a day off or whatever the case is and not worry about it. And you've got enough runway that it's not a huge deal. But when you just first get started or trying to build that up, it's like, you feel like you have to grind nonstop. And any day you decide to take off is a day you're not growing, a day you're not finding sponsor or whatever the case is, feels like it's setting you back.
Yeah, and there's all those little pressures too. I don't know if you've talked to Icy yet, but one of the things we were talking about is, especially on YouTube, right? When this is like your full-time job and this is like, not that you rely only on ad revenue, because that would be insane. You'd have to have really high numbers. But even just like little things I noticed when I was going full-time of people complain about, oh, you made this like thumbnail or title like clickbaity. And yeah, I'm like, okay, I don't like clickbait. Like, I'm not trying to misinform anyone. But at the same time, like, my money is tied to at least a portion ad revenue from views. So I have to make the title catchy enough without like everyone getting pissed off that it's clickbaity. You know, it's like those little things, just like, it's crazy when those things are full time versus, oh, this is just a side gig. It doesn't matter too much that the revenue coming in.
And people complain about those titles, but then they click on them more themselves, which drives it in the YouTube algorithm. So if you don't like it, then stop clicking on those videos, because I would love to not have to make flashy logos and things like that. And I didn't for a while. That was one thing I just didn't want to mess with. But now I've kind of changed a lot of that over. And you've got to make sure your titles and the logos are flashy and appealing and people want to click on them, because like, click-through rate's like the most important stat on YouTube.
Yeah, it's a weird world to try to figure out every social media platform's algorithm, and then how do you strategize that, and then how do you do that in a way that is appealing to users without making them mad? I mean, it's a ridiculous game, a balancing act that you have to perform.
Well, and there's also just so much, like, I don't necessarily know a fair way to describe it, but there's so much disdain for content creators that are full-time and make money that way. It's like people view that as not a real job, or like they hate on other people who support content creators or provide donations or bits in chat or whatever the case is. It's like, I don't know if it's jealousy because people don't like that somebody else is able to stream a game for a living or whatever the case is. But there's just a lot of hate towards content creators, just in, not necessarily in Web3, but just in general. And it can make things tough sometimes.
Yeah. Speaking of another tough thing, I want to know what you think about this, because obviously you're known for Splinterlands more than anything else. How difficult have you found it to be to branch out to other games? Because I've had that experience too, and I've really known for one game and then try to stream or make a video on another game and be like, I don't care, I'm not going to click on that. And then you just spiral down on the algorithm. Have you found a good way to kind of combat that? Are you struggling through that? What has that been like?
No, it is very, very difficult. So like when I switched from Star Wars to Splinterlands, I lost about 1,500 subscribers on YouTube. So I took a large step backwards before I took off. And part of that is I just hate the YouTube algorithm. And I'm still not sure how to necessarily approach it, because like I said, click through rate's the most important thing. So whenever like you make a video on a different game and people don't click on it, it doesn't just tell the YouTube algorithm that you're less interested in that game that they made a video on. It also says you're less interested in that creator. So not only are you less likely, like you'll be less likely to see my Splinterlands content if I make a Marvel Snap video and you don't click on it. So the YouTube algorithm is so bad. But that's why with Snap, like I kind of created another channel. I've been trying to do some more stuff on Twitch, because Twitch isn't necessarily like that, mainly because it just doesn't have the discovery at all. So right. You can't exactly hurt yourself with the discovery. But no, and be more on like, I've been pushing on Twitter a lot more on that type of thing. So, but no, I've been debating, like, do I need to have a channel for every single game? Do I put them all together? I still haven't figured it out, and I still keep going back and forth, and I don't have an answer.
Okay. Well, when you figure it out, let me know so that I can use the same hacks.
But by the time anybody figures it out, it's going to change again.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, I mean, it's difficult being a content creator, and I wish you the best of luck. And maybe we can end on something a little bit more positive here. I want to get your opinion, you know, thinking through, it seems like more and more content creators are slowly starting to pop up in Web3. So I'm curious if you have any advice content creation wise, but also like, is there something about Web3 content creation that's specifically different than your Web2 experience that you can speak about?
Oh, I mean, it's definitely different because viewers have different motives. And that was a big adjustment for me when I came over from like Galaxy of Heroes. All my best content was like strategy content and kind of gameplay specific things. That was kind of my niche over in that game. Then I come over here, and with a few exceptions, most of my actual guides on how to use certain cars or how to use certain rule sets or things don't even perform well. It's more things that are about even like the investment side or news about the game that people could use to make their investment decisions or things like that have performed a lot better. And that was an interesting change. And I don't know if that's just me personally.
No, I don't think so. I mean, we were having a discussion way back when, because we were talking about like, man, why does no one click on the gameplay videos when, you know, I'd much rather make that, but somehow people would rather watch me read an announcement article about nodes, right? Like, what is going on?
Right. And I never get requests like, okay, can you make a video? Can you make a video on this rule set? I shouldn't say never. But it's make a recommendation on what to buy, make a recommendation or make a guide on how to do this specific thing in the game that's more market based or things like that. And it'll be like, well, there's like, I don't want to make a video because you can read about it in 2 minutes and go do it. But then if I make a video, it performs really well. And it's like, well, okay. I guess I'll make these, but.
Yeah. Do you think that's partly just because it's play to earn? Like, do you think that will switch as you make maybe a video about superior STG football? You know, the thing I've noticed about Splinterlands is a lot of those audience come over from a crypto or investment mindset. So they want to hear an opinion on what's going to happen to the price of DEC more so than, hey, you know, what can I do to set up, as you said, like these legendary cards to find the OP strats? Like, that's what they're interested in. And I'm thinking like maybe that will shift as you cover different games that aren't as focused on the play to earn or investment side of it.
It probably will. I hope that it will. And I know some of it in Splinterlands is that so many of the cards are so expensive and that people are coming over and yeah, I can make a video on how to do this. But if only a third of my subscribers even have those cards to begin with, then instantly 2/3 are not going to care about it because they just don't have the cards. So yeah, it might be different with some different games, and we'll see. Some of my review videos are starting to do a little bit better, but again, do they really care about whether it's a fun game, or are they wanting to know if this is a game that they should go invest in? I don't know. So, and Web3 keeps changing, so it's kind of hard. But we are seeing more and more fun games that are coming out. And I still don't think they're necessarily Web 2 quality games, but the gap is closing. And there's a lot of games that have had 2-3 years that they've been building now. And hopefully we're going to see some pretty cool projects coming out.
Yeah, I'm definitely hyped for some of the ones coming up. And do you have like a top 5 list or a few that you're looking at for this next year that are most exciting to you?
Not necessarily. It's so hard because I mean, we see a lot of them that are hyped up and things that then just don't end up being very good. I mean, like Alluvium and Star Atlas seem to be the two that get the most attention. Star Atlas, I don't think, is anywhere close. We'll see how good Alluvium's going to be or how close it is. But like one of the ones I think about is what is it? Guild of Guardians? Is that?
Yeah, the mobile dungeon crawler. Is that the one you're thinking of? Yeah, yeah.
Like, that was one that was really hyped. When I did a list, I kind of had it up near the top. And have you played the beta for it or the alpha or whatever it is?
The very first alpha, so I don't know how the new updates have gone, but the very first alpha, I was like, oh, this feels a little bit bare bones. Like, I wasn't too excited by the gameplay, although it was really early on, so I don't know how it's changed.
Right, and some of the graphics and stuff have improved a little bit, but it wasn't even like a lot of times the polish isn't there, the graphics are there, but it was just the gameplay was completely uninteresting to me, mainly because you basically have one skill button, like one skill button and then an ultimate that charges up that you could hit. So when you're going through, it's just tapping the skill button over and over. Oh, the ultimate's ready, tap my ultimate. And it charged fairly fast. So you never felt like you had to save it for the optimal time or anything like that. Fighting, like, even like the gear you were getting in the progression system, there wasn't a lot of gear spots. There weren't like skills to go through, and I didn't feel like, oh, nothing was pushing me to want to level up to do anything like that. Like, it was supposed to be coming out I think. We'll see.
A couple months ago, even, I think. Sometime quarter four.
So yeah, I was looking at this game like, there's no way they're going to be, if they're going to release in 6 months, like, this is going to be awful. They're not anywhere close. So I don't know. Maybe they're, in reality, they're still a year and a half away and it's just too early. But like that one was a big wake up call that, okay, even up these hyped up games with these huge cinematic trailers and stuff might not necessarily live up to the reputation there. So
yeah. I don't know if you've felt this way now, but after being in this space, it's been almost, I think, a little bit over a year and a half for me. And, you know, you get into the space and you start thinking like, oh my goodness, these massive games, look at all these cool trailers, as you said, like Alluvium, Star Atlas, you know, you name it, Guild of Guardians. And you think like, as they're promoting stuff, you're like, oh, I'm going to be playing this game within a couple months. And now that I've been in the space for so long, I'm like, okay, duh, video games take way, way more time. And not only that, but you can get to a game where you think it's in a place, you release a, you know, alpha or something, and then you realize, oh, this game isn't fun, we're going to need another year reworking a lot of these systems. So I don't know about you, but now I don't trust any roadmap anymore. Anytime I see a roadmap, I'm like, cool, that's a fun idea, we'll see.
Yeah, I agree. With Splinterlands, everybody's like, the wind land and complaining about how long it's taken with Splinterlands. That's been every Web3 game. And we're going to hit a point where that's not the case, and people can't get away with that, because there's going to be gaming studios that come in that are fully funded, because a lot of this was people trying to get funding that way and hype people up to sell a token or whatever the case, not necessarily to be a scam, but just because they needed that funding, yeah, to build the game.
It's a Kickstarter equivalent is
right
for a lot of the right. Web3 games. Yeah.
So you're going to see more major studios that come in that have millions of dollars set aside from the beginning, and where, other than maybe hearing that the project's going to be worked on, it'll be in development for 2 or 3 years before you see anything, and then it comes out and it's just here. Like, it's okay, this is announced and it's going live in 2 months or whatever the case, and that type of thing, and it pops up more fully functional. Like, games won't be able to necessarily get away with doing this type of thing and essentially releasing bare bones products and then kind of improving as they go along, just because there's going to be so many more well-funded games, well-funded studios that can operate more like a Web2.
Yeah, it's this interesting dynamic of, I think it's really cool that you can get into these projects like on the ground floor, essentially. And, you know, a lot of these Web3 games will look to the community to say, hey, help build this game, you know, not maybe the code, but, you know, you can really be involved. We'll take your feedback in. You can be part of this community as we build, get in, you know, with your NFTs and tokens early. But at the same time, you know, waiting and being frustrated by these things being delayed and having to have the patience of like, okay, I need to realize this game is probably 3-4 years out, even maybe, from being fully released.
Well, and some of them been hurt a lot by that too, because you see the token prices going down and then people lose interest in it, and maybe people look at it once and then dismiss it and then never check out it again, even though by the time it's fully released, it might actually be a game they really like and want to get into, but they've already kind of written it off because they saw an early version that was crap. Like, even Splinterlands that we're obviously familiar with, just like, imagine how much different everything is and how much different their token price is if, instead of releasing the SPS token and then building everything, I mean, we're a year and a half later and we still don't have some of the core features that was promised with the SPS token. Imagine if they released that SPS token and everything was ready from the start, like nodes were ready, player staking was ready, like all of that was just there from the very beginning. How much better would the token be doing? But I think it'd be a completely different dynamic. And it's like, okay, how much would we be hurt when, okay, that's finally here and now it's there. But then people look back and, okay, well, why do I want to buy a token that has dropped 95% in price? Yeah. Even though it's okay, it's different now. We've got everything here. It's a different economy. You can't really look at what it was a year ago, but people still will.
Yeah, and I think it's, you know, not even, as you said, a malicious thing. It's, hey, we're a team of, like, Splinterlands, what was, like, a team of, like, 5 people. Like, you know, as we blow up, now we have these funds, and now we can actually get the team that we need to really bring this quality up. But those things take time, even if you do hire, you know, as we've seen, an extra 50-whatever people. It's not like this instant everything just becomes automatically better overnight. Like, those things take so much time to develop.
Absolutely.
Awesome. Well, Bulldog, it's been great having you on. Anything you want to shout out? I think a lot of people are probably going to recognize you, but if not, anything you want to hype up that you're doing, where they can find you, all those great things.
Oh, thanks for having me. And I'm trying to make myself available all over the place. And I'm pretty easy to find because I've got those random numbers after my name. That so I'm over on Twitch. Has kind of been a large focus. I'm trying to live stream, so that's one of the best places to find me. But like I've started like even putting content on TikTok now. as much as I've hated TikTok, I'm trying to put content out there. So in clips of gameplay and everything, but if you want to watch the initial live streams, Twitch is probably the best place to come find me.
Yeah, I feel like I've never met a content creator who's like, yay, TikTok. Like, it's like everyone who's on Twitch and YouTube is like, gosh dang it, I have to do TikTok. Oh, man.
I mean, it's just a huge source. And I don't know, TikTok's weird. Like, I put one video up and it's got like 800 views, even though I've got 4 followers there. Wow. And everything else has like sub 100, and I'm like, what happened? Why did this one get like so many views? What's the algorithm doing? There's nothing special about this video.
It's chaos. None of TikTok is logical, so you know, don't study and hurt your brain too much there. Real quick though, do you want to shout out, give like a little short explanation of the potential Darth Squirrels that you're giving away there?
Oh yeah, sure. So Darth Squirrel, that's something that I'm hoping is going to be huge. A lot of sponsors that I've talked to have absolutely loved it. So we'll see what happens. But every time I stream on Twitch, or even if it's one of the streams that's multi-streamed on YouTube or Facebook, as you watch the streams, you can earn points, kind of like channel points. I've got them set up so you're earning acorns. I'm actually setting up so you can earn them by participating in my Discord as well. But then you can enter giveaways to win these Darth Squirrels. It's a generative NFT that's made to look like a Splinterlands card. It's not a Splinterlands card. I get so many people wondering how to use it in the game. It is not a Splinterlands card. It's just designed to look like one with random stats and abilities. So it's pretty cool. But one of the utilities for that is that when people buy sponsorships on my channel or pay me to commentate tournaments or whatever the case is, I essentially accept those like Splinterlands does vouchers. Like I will take the Darth Squirrel as $50 worth of advertising on my channel. So advertisers can go and buy those off the secondary market if they're selling for less and essentially get a discount. And that's a way that they can, the advertiser is basically paying my viewers or paying my supporters instead of paying me directly. So it's kind of a way of doing profit sharing there, and a way to do a fun NFT collection and have some profit sharing. So I think it's pretty cool. And I'm hoping that's going to get some more traction and blow up.
Yeah, no, it's an awesome idea. Well, how many are you giving out, and over what time frame?
So I give out one every time I do, every day I do a live stream, I give one. I've been doing like some contests on Discord, like we're doing So Rare contests. Those are twice a week. They're like free to join. So you come and submit your free entry, just screenshot your team and submit it in my Discord, and you can win some that way. But I think we've only given away about 60 or so. But it works out pretty well. And then as a way, like it also works as an alternative to like a lot of creators have a Patreon or whatever the case is. Well, I get those NFTs that are given back to me. I'm not just going to turn around and sell them on the market and undercut my viewers and that type of thing. But if I get people that want to financially support the channel with like donations or whatever the case is, I can instead just sell them those Darth Squirrels at slightly inflated prices. But at least that way they've got something. They've got an actual NFT to have something for supporting the channel that way as well. So I can kind of reuse them and things. And it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah, no, I love the concept, and it's really cool to see how Web3 is integrating with streaming as well. And I think maybe that's one area that hasn't been discovered as much. And, you know, it'd be interesting a year or two or now getting all the Web3 content creators together and say like, hey, like how are you using NFTs or tokens and all these things to really get more of a, I guess, rewarding the community, but just getting them more engaged and involved as well.
Well, yeah, it's something that like content creators can do even if they're not streaming Web3 games or doing anything else with blockchain. Like they can just use it as a way to kind of reward or thank their audience or whatever the case is. There's so many different ways of so many different things you can do with different utilities. I mean, I'd like to get a point where, okay, when games, like if I've got sponsorship with certain games, maybe they're also airdropping like assets or skins or something from that game to everybody that holds a Darth Squirrel or something like that. So not something that's happening now, but some more potential use cases down the line. There's so many different directions creators can take it depending on the model they want.
Yeah. Well, I love the Darth Squirrel idea, and I hope it keeps going well. Maybe I'll get a chance to win one of them and collect them as well. But again, Bulldog, thanks so much for being on, and it's great to not only learn your story, but pick your brain about Web3 gaming coming up, and best of luck to you and your content creation.
Thank you very much. I'm sure I'll be seeing you guys around all over the place.
Yes. Yes, you will. Sounds good. Thanks, Bulldog. Well, that's going to be it for today's episode. Thank you, Bulldog, for joining us. Everyone, please go check out all of Bulldog's social channels. Support him as he goes full-time content creation. And for Balthazar, check out our research reports, our SDK, and of course, our community and our Discord is growing. So make sure you grab your OG spot before it's too late. Thank you, Salamat. Gracias for tuning in. We'll see you next time.